Hello. Hello, my name is Jimmy Fallon. With my hair
back and forth. Dropped out of school, college, and I went to L.A. to join the Groundlings. Here's some election news. A new poll found that President Obama's approval rating is lowest in Idaho. Probably has to do with Obama's new campaign slogan, potatoes suck. The most fun thing in the world having your own talk show is like you get to go out and do comedy in front of, you know, live crowds and get, you know, it's immediate feedback, which is what I really love.
So stay winning, my gods and goddesses.
Thank you, Chili's menus, for showing how many calories are in your food. I'm in a Chili's. What part of I don't give a crap do you not understand?
One of America's top comedians. He's also a talk show host, Jimmy Fallon!
It's been a while since Jimmy Fallon has joined us on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we are delighted to welcome him now. Hi, Jimmy. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you. It's going great. I have to tell you. Yeah, as a good Christian program like we are, I'm not comfortable talking about any CD called Blow Your Pants Off. That's just offensive, Fallon. Come on.
I know, but you guys got to change your format. I mean, really. The idea of this is it's so good that your pants will be blown off of your body when you play it.
So it's not something you came up with. It's just something you observed.
Yeah, exactly. I can't change science.
I see.
Right. It's too much comedy for clothes to remain on. I understand. Here's what I'll say about Jimmy Fallon, and I do enjoy your show very much, is no one seems to be having more fun on television than you do. Like, you've been doing that job for years now, Jimmy, but there's such obvious glee. Like, I almost get the feeling sometimes you can't believe that you're doing a late-night network television show.
Sometimes it is like that. You go like, this is weird. Like, but I mean, it's crazy experiences. I mean, these aren't just like normal, fun, goofy things. Like, either I'll be doing a sketch with Will Ferrell or I'm singing a song with Paul McCartney or something. And you're going like, what is going on? Like, this is just, how can you not have fun?
Let's play a little bit of the Paul McCartney. This is Scrambled Eggs, just a clip of this from the new Jimmy Fallon album. Of course, Scrambled Eggs, famously, the original title of Yesterday. Here's what they did with it.
Scrambled Eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs. Not as much as I love scrambled eggs. Oh, we should eat some scrambled eggs. Waffle fries.
And then it goes into the... How does something like that work with Paul McCartney? Are you nervous at all to suggest that you're going to waste his time with a song like that?
Oh, completely, yeah. I mean, if you zoomed in, there's so much sweat on my face right there as I'm singing that. I'm just so nervous. I went in, he was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live that weekend, and he was just going to come on and talk. And so I went up to his dressing room to have a pre-interview, and I said, hey, Paul, I said, I just want to go over what we're going to be talking about on the show. He goes, yeah, I think we should just have like a fun chat. You know, we'll have a fun chat. I go, great, we'll have a fun chat. It'll be great. I go, but... I also wrote this sketch that I thought that you should just sing called Scrambled Eggs. You know, that was the original title of Yesterday. Like, what if you did the whole song as a tribute to food and different, you know, and he goes, yeah, I think we should just do a fun chat. All right, he goes, all right, we'll sing it for me, sing it for me. So I go, all right, great, so now I have to sing in front of Paul. So I start singing, like, scrambled eggs. I'm like, yeah, I love your legs, but not as much as I love scrambled eggs. I'll have you tried scrambled eggs. Cut to... his head is over my shoulder reading the lyrics, going like, waffle fries. I go, great, so you want to do it? He goes, only if you do it with me.
Was that, wow, a dream come true for you. Was that your most awkward pitch, or was it Bruce Springsteen with Whip My Hair? Which one did you feel the worst about?
I mean, Springsteen was a fun one because that kind of opened the door for us. So we did the thing with Springsteen, like, and the manager wanted me to get on the phone with Bruce. I go, to explain the idea of the bag, okay. So that was nerve-wracking. So I'm on the phone with Bruce, and I go, I want to do a duet. I do an impression of Neil Young, and he goes, and I want to do a duet with you of Willow Smith's Whip My Hair. And he goes, I am not familiar with that song. I am not familiar with that song. I go, no, that's okay. The original goes, I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I go, but my version would be slowed down. It'd be more Neil. It'd be like, whip my hair back and forth. And then I, want you to come in and go, you gotta whip your hair, you know. And so he starts laughing. He goes, I love it. I'm in. He goes, well, wait, I got an idea. I go, okay. He goes, what if I dress up like I used to look in the 70s?
Oh, my God. It couldn't get any better.
Yeah, I go, you're pitching me on that. I go, of course. We'll get you a beard. We'll get you a hat. Like, and then he came out, and if you listen to the CD, you can hear, like, the audience doesn't quite realize that it's really Bruce Springsteen.
Right, yeah. It's incredible. It's incredible. And that's what's so brilliant about these songs, and they all go viral. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable how many of these things you've had. Real quick, I know we don't have much time with you, Jimmy, but Slow Jam's the news.
Yeah,
you've been doing it with Brian Williams. You've done a few of those, and they're great. How did you get President Obama to come out there with you slow jamming the news with the Roots playing? I mean, it was insane. How does something like that – how many layers do you have to go through to get the president to sing with you?
It's so crazy. It's like we just had a crazy year. We got a call from the White House to do a sketch with the president based on his initiative was to not to raise the college loans, the interest rates on college.
Yeah, and
loans.
You were doing a live show down at a college in Virginia or something like that when he showed up, right?
Yeah. So I said, I'll go anywhere for the president. I'll do whatever he wants. Of course. So they go, well, he might be in North Carolina. I said, well, if I'm going to North Carolina, can we just do a whole show from there? And they go, let me call you back.
So wow.
White House calls us back and they go, I think he's in. He wants to do it. They go, but don't tell anybody, you know, that we're doing this because we have the Secret Service and all this stuff. We have to sweep the college and
what
make
the
sure
hell?
No, it got crazy. And they go, so we had a code name. We kept calling it Bieber. The Bieber show? Is Bieber coming? And we said we couldn't say the, you know, the Obama word. And then we sent him Slow Jam, and they only had like one note really. You know, cause, you know, I after working on Saturday Night Live, I kind of realized what you can go, what you can't do, what's too much and what's too edgy or whatever.
Did you have a rehearsal or was that just done live on the spot?
We had one quick rehearsal. The president gets there, we go into a room with the writers. Bashir and Diallo are the writers. He knows them. Like they know everything. The president knows where he's going to be, who's with him, how tall people are, how much they weigh.
What?
You know, he knows everything.
That's
so
scary.
No, it's frightening. And he goes, okay, we're going to slow jam the news. Okay,
well,
so we do the slow jam, and at the end, normally with Brian Williams ends my slow jam with, he goes, oh, yeah. And so we're rehearsing, and President Obama goes, oh, yeah. You want to give me a little bit more spice, something?
And you gave him a note?
I gave him a note, and he wouldn't take it.
Well, you can hear these songs we've been talking about. Also, Walk of Shame, your hilarious song with Dave Matthews. Your Eddie Vedder Balls in Your Mouth duet is on there. You singing Friday with Stephen Colbert. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. It is so funny. It's called Blow Your Pants Off. It's available on CD. And, of course, you can download it as well. Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Always great to catch up with you. It's been too long.
Thanks. Great. I mean, for years and years, I've been loving you guys. So thank you so much for everything. And thanks for having me back on.
Thanks, Jimmy. You bet, man. Good luck. Bye-bye. Black Keys tickets this hour for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All the details on how you can win the van on the front of the El Camino album cover. Available at krock.com. Funny, by the way, that the album is called El Camino. The vehicle on the front of it, the one that we're giving away, is not an El Camino. It's a van. Let's turn our attention to Italy. This is one of the strangest election stories I've ever seen. Lisa may follow this. There's only 507 inhabitants in this little town in Italy, the town of Somalias, which I'm sure I'm not pronouncing correctly. So there's a guy who wants to be the mayor there. His name is Gino Bartolo. He's running for mayor. But if you don't get enough votes, if enough people don't come out to vote, then you don't win. Even if you are unanimously elected, you have to have a certain number of people vote. So this guy says, nobody's going to go out to vote if I'm the only guy on the ballot. I need some competition. So he asks his friend, hey, can I put you on the ballot so that at least I have somebody running against me so that if when I win, it'll be certified and it'll be real and I'll win. Well, you can see where this story is headed. The guy no one ever heard of, who never campaigned 1 minute to be the mayor of this town in Italy, is the one that ended up getting more votes than Gino.
They did not like Gino.
He got 160 votes and Gino got 117.
So Fabio Borsari, a guy who doesn't even live in the town, had no interest in being mayor, basically just did it as a favor to his friend Gino, is now the mayor of the town in Italy. What's that deal? What's that like, do you think?
Well, we have him on the line if you'd like to talk to him.
What? Yeah.
Fabio?
Hey, how you go? How's it going in America? Hey, how you do?
So, Fabio,
how's it going for you? How you do?
Well, we're fine. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. I think I just explained as best I could, but did I leave anything out? I'm right. You didn't want to be the mayor. You just put your name on the ballot as a favor to your friend Gino, right?
That's right. Gino come to me and say, hey, look, I need someone to run against me in the election, so it's official. And I say, hey, no problem. Of course, what am I going to do for a friend? So I put a name on a ballot. And next thing, boom, bada bing, bada boom, bada boom. I am mayor of this town. It's unbelievable.
But why did so many people vote for you, a candidate that they had never heard of before?
I only can think one thing. They think I'm the model from the front of the books.
Fabio?
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
My name's Fabio.
Your name's Fabio? Yeah. His name's Fabio.
His name's Fabio.
But he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
Right.
But he's a good looker.
Yeah, that's right.
He's a good looker.
Right.
He's got the long flow of hair.
Right.
He's got the big muscles and the push-up and the pectoralis.
Right. Yes, he's well built.
He's got this stomach, which you can see many different packs of.
Okay. All right, we got
he's
it.
He's got this.
We understand.
And a swarthy skin.
He's hot, right? We got you.
He's a very romantic figure on a cover of romantic novels.
Right. That's the other Fabio, right?
But we're talking about... ladies are like a Fabio.
Understood.
There are many people like a Fabio.
Yes, you're correct.
But I think, it's my chance to vote for Fabio for mayor.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor. I take advantage of this opportunity I have to vote for Fabio for mayor. And next thing you know, it's me, Fabio. A smaller but humble hotel proprietor here in Chimalay.
Now, how do you look as compared to the Fabio?
Hey,
don't ask any more Fabio questions.
Don't get me wrong. I'm no Fabio.
All right.
Fabio is a tall fella. He's like a 6'2".
No,
like
I was asking how you look.
He's got to be pushing the 220, I think, in terms of weight.
Right.
He is a very built up, like lift many weights up for a long, long time to get a physique like that.
All right.
And also, he's got a face. He's like a carved marble, like he's a statue.
Right.
You only see when you go to the Colosseum or a place like that, you say, oh, look, Michelangelo has picked up another chisel and hammer and has worked his magic on a piece of granite. He's made us a person that's unbelievable. The person that appeals to the women, appeals to the men, the children, everybody loves Fabio.
All right. Let me ask another question.
I got to go. See you.
What?
I'm
what
out
happened?
Of time. I got to go do mayor things.
What
I gotta go cut a ribbon on a new museum here in the town.
Okay. Do you have time to ask?
For Fabio. Okay. I love Fabio.
All right. Never. That is Incubus. All morning long, we are playing bands that we just announced are playing the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta, Saturday, May 5th. And Coldplay and Incubus, The Offspring, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, The Dirty Heads, Garbage, AWOL Nation, Group Love of Monsters and Men, and Walk the Moon.
That is a great lineup.
It sure is. And by the way, how much fun is Incubus, and how great are those guys, and how entertaining are they on stage?
Oh, they're always amazing.
All of those things. Yeah. You can go to krock.com for all the details. Make sure you're a Street Team member. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon. And speaking of Pennywise, Kevin just walked off the stage, bringing Pennywise on down the hall. They are at the K-Rock Red Bull soundstage performing live right now. I'm not sure how long they're going, but I think it's going to be for a while. So if you want a free Pennywise concert at your desk this morning, head on over to krock.com.
That's not bad, right?
A lot of times we'll bring up a topic in the office of something that we might want to talk about on the air. And then usually if it doesn't get on the schedule after a couple of weeks, we just drop it because apparently there's not enough interest in it. For some reason, this one has been bumped a couple of times, I admit. But for some reason, Kevin refuses to let this one go. You have become obsessed with the survey that we talked about from the hotel chain Travelodge that came to the conclusion that 35% of adults and 25% of men, adults now, traveling with a stuffed animal. Sleep with a stuffed animal. Pack it in their bag, take it with them, sleep with it in the hotel.
I am Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Why does this trouble you so much that people are choosing a stuffed animal to sleep with if that's what makes them more comfortable?
Did you bring condoms with you?
I don't... 25% of adults, 1 in 4 men.
This is men.
Travel with a stuffed animal. I think the reason it bothers me, Bean, is because stuffed animals are, by their very nature, kids' toys, which they outgrow at about six. Maybe seven. Maybe they hold on to them till seven.
What guy in high school hasn't thrown away every stuffed toy anywhere near him? Like, they're just done with that. And you're the only person I personally know that does that. So I find that
one in four
really hard to believe.
That's BS.
Now, what kind of calls are we looking for here today? Do you just want other guys who sleep with stuffed animals to call up so that you can harass them as well?
Well, I don't think it would be interesting to take calls from people who don't travel with stuffed animals because it would we'd get those all day. Right? I mean, 20.
Yeah, of course. That's most people. That's 20, most people. Right.
And it's more than 75%, by the way. It's about 99%. So. But, yeah, if you are an adult male and you travel with a stuffed animal, and the part of it that gets me is that, like, Bean can't sleep if he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
What do you travel with now? Is it the sock monkey?
Sock monkey for many, many years now. But that shouldn't be a surprise to you, because if I sleep with the sock monkey every night when I'm at home, and that's just my habit and that's what I'm used to.
Right. That's
well, certainly me. Just because I'm in another bed in another state doesn't mean I'm going to all of a sudden be able to sleep without the sock monkey, because that's what I'm used to.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
you sleep with a sock monkey at home is just as
you've got
creepy.
A wife and dogs.
Yeah.
Why do you need a sock monkey? It's How many people need to be in your bed?
Where does the sock monkey go when you and your wife are laying in bed? Where does the sock monkey go? Is it between you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, usually, you know, usually
does she
have to fight over the sock monkey to get to you?
She's not making any effort to get to me, for starters. Okay. You know that. But, yeah, I just, if I'm on my side, for instance, the sock monkey is just, you know, I'm cradling the sock monkey.
Oh, my God.
Listen to you.
But I've been sleeping with a sock monkey, and before that, a Curious George, and before that, Wicket the Ewok, for, you know, and before that, Tony the Tiger, my whole life. I've had, you know, I've had a stuffed animal I slept with. So at some point, if I had gotten rid of it, I guess eventually maybe I would have gotten used to it, but why? If it's something that doesn't hurt anybody and it's comfortable, it helps me be more comfortable and sleep better, why would I get rid of it?
It's the behavior of a four-year-old.
Yeah, I used to bite my nails. It doesn't hurt anyone, right? It gave me comfort. But at one point, I said, in my teens, I need to stop this. I need to have more adult behaviors. Right. I'm going to stop biting my nails.
You know what, Bean? I used to poop my pants when I was a baby.
Doesn't hurt anyone.
Until you were 14, from what I recall the story being.
If I still do it because it makes me feel good, why not?
You know, if you had me naked, I'd want more, right?
Here's what I'm saying. It's creepy.
It's not creepy.
It's a little creepy.
No, you're attaching the creepiness to it, not me. There's nothing creepy about what I'm doing. You're trying to turn it into Chris Hansen land, and it's not.
I'm in my 40s, but guarantee that I'm not some old guy wanting to perv a young boy.
But look, it doesn't affect anyone.
No,
but
it doesn't.
It doesn't affect a single person.
No, we're
but
not
me.
Saying it does.
Then is that a yes?
Then what's, I mean... Why?
It's troubling.
That?
It's really troubling. Because
that's on you, then, dude.
Well, there's something.
It's not only me. Lisa's
about that.
Lisa's troubled by it.
It's like you're unable to let go of some sort of childhood thing. Like,
do you still
you
suck
don't want
your
to
thumb?
Grow up?
No. Because that would be crazy.
No.
No. Do you still suck your thumb?
No.
Well? It's the exact same thing. That's what you used to do when you were a baby and you needed to sleep. You would put your thumb in your mouth and suck it.
Would that seem weird to you if somebody else still sucked their thumb?
I think that would seem weird.
Call if you suck your thumb as well.
Let's talk to Aaron. He's on line three. He's going to get us going at 1-800-520-1067. You're looking for adult males, Kevin,
yes.
who also sleep with a stuffed animal and you want to know why.
Or suck their thumb. Either way.
Aaron, what's going on?
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, guys. When I was 8 years old, my parents gave me a stuffed bunny when they had my little sister, and I've kept it ever since, and she's now 22, and I am 29.
So you still have the little bunny that your parents gave you?
I still have it. I keep it on the nightstand near my bed. I do not sleep with it, but it's within arm's reach.
Do you travel? Do you take it with you?
It's within arm's reach in case you ever need it immediately.
For protection or something.
Do you travel with it?
I don't travel with it, no.
You're nothing, then. You're
nothing. He doesn't sound like one of my people, then.
You're nothing. You don't travel with it. You're nobody. Come on, now. We need people who travel with stuffed animals.
Let's have commitment.
Let's talk to Todd. How about Todd on line one? I think Todd may be our man.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I've had a little dopey doll from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs since I was about 3 or 4. My grandmother gave it to me. I don't sleep with it at home, but whenever I travel, I stuff it in my bag and it goes with me wherever I go.
You travel with it.
Do you sleep with it when you get on the road, when you're in a hotel room?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean,
that's weird. You're a freak.
Yeah.
No, because he doesn't sleep with it at home. That's what's weird.
At least what?
At least there's others like me.
Yeah, Bean. That makes you feel better?
yeah, a little bit. If it makes him feel better, it makes me feel better.
Wow.
Do you have a woman?
That was a reasonable question.
That was the funniest question I've ever heard.
Well, let's find out. I bet Todd has lots of ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and what's her imaginary name?
She's a real doll, and I sleep with her, too. All right, I don't need Todd on my side. Hang up on Todd.
Oh, wait, right. Todd's not good? That's not what you're looking for?
1-800-520-1067. Where are just the reasonable dudes who sleep with their stuffed animals and travel with them on the road? That's what we're looking for. We're going to take your calls next, coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It will be nice. I think you will love it.
Made the announcement earlier this morning, the Dirty Heads, one of the bands playing the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta, which is Saturday, May 5th. Cinco de Mayo this year, a month earlier than usual. Usually we do it in early June. This time it is May 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You got your Coldplay, your Incubus, your Offspring, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, the Dirty Heads, which we just played, Garbage, AWOL Nation, Group Love, Of Monsters and Men, and Walk the Moon. Tickets go on sale Thursday at noon. You have to be a K-Rock Street Team member, so go to K-Rock, sign up. If you're not the type of person who likes to sign up for street teams or whatever, you don't like the emails, you can get off of it just as easily as you get on it. But you need the password so you can buy tickets Thursday at noon.
Okay.
Kevin just read a long list of names in order, by the way, without screwing up any of them. I don't know if you noticed that or not, Lisa. What's happening
he
now?
Everything he said made sense.
Wow. It's crazy. That was a lot of complicated information for you to dispense to the listeners.
We should just record that and replay it because that won't happen.
That's never
going
to happen again.
What?
I agree. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in a minute, too. A lot of controversy.
That's how I sound in my head all the time, by the way.
A lot of controversy about the Octomom, who is now on welfare, which means you, California taxpayers, are paying her to support her 14 children. We'll talk to Harvey about that coming up next. First, though, guys who sleep with stuffed animals, they pack their stuffed animal in a suitcase, take it with them on the road, and sleep with it when they're traveling. In my case, I also sleep with my sock mic when I'm at home. But Kevin, for some reason, thinks that's weird.
Well, it's creepy.
So let's...
I'll just be your secret lover.
Why don't we start with Evan? Let's talk to Evan. He's on line 4. Now, he's 20. Is he old enough that he should have given up his stuffed animal already?
Right. Is he more than 6?
Evan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man? Are you one of my people?
Yeah, man, I'm one of your people.
All right, what is it?
What do you got?
I sleep, I travel with a stuffed dolphin.
A stuffed dolphin, why?
Because it's a good pillow, man. I'm way too cheap to buy one of those neck pillows at the airport. If I'm on an airplane, I'd like get in a fight with a stewardess to get a pillow. So it's just more convenient, you know?
Is that the reason you use to explain something you would otherwise do?
Like, if I forget it, I am not troubled at all.
Okay.
But when I have it, I feel convenienced. I feel, you know.
Because it's a pillow. It doubles as a pillow.
Yeah, I mean, I want to, like, ask the stewards for a pillow, and then, like, you don't know what airline you're on. They're like, we don't offer those, sir.
And they only wash those once a year, too. Remember that when you ask for an airline pillow.
Yeah, they smell like, you know, all like right. The guy was slobbering on it last flight. All right, thanks, guys.
So this guy says he's doing not my people either. He's not your people. You're worse than every person we've talked to, Bean.
No, better, because I'm not lame. Let me ask you this. What
so would you like to watch a movie with me with your hand down my pants?
No, it's not. This is not a Chris Hansen situation at all.
Reading your email, that's all.
I'm talking about sleeping by myself with my sock monkey. There's nothing creepy or sexual about it. But let me ask you this question. What if it weren't a stuffed animal? What if I were just one of those people, and there are millions of them, who likes to cradle a pillow when he goes to sleep or she goes to sleep because that's more comfortable?
That's
What's the
fine.
Difference?
Fine.
What's the difference? If one's a stuffed animal, one's a pillow, what's the difference?
One is a behavior that 6-year-olds and under do, and the other is a behavior that all adults do. That's the difference. All right. Stuffed animal is what you have when you're a little kid.
It will be nice. I think you will love it.
What about Zach on line 3? Let's see what Zach's story is. 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Zach.
Hi, how's it going?
You travel with the stuffed animal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I take it with me to, like, friends' house and stuff like that when it's in the night.
All right. What kind of animal is it, first of all?
It's a pink Build-A-Bear.
All right.
And do you also sleep with it at home?
I do, every single night.
Okay. Chris, do you have any email from this caller?
I can't control my horny level.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Do you have a woman? I'm going to ask that before Lisa.
Dating someone.
Sure.
No, the reason why I have it, though, is I'm 24 years old. I got a kid on the way, a daughter. And so I kind of, you know, made it for her. And it kind of serves as a reminder.
It's a reminder that you're going to have a kid?
But you sleep with it. You're not even going to be able to give it to her. You're going to want to keep it.
No, Daddy wants it. That's what's going to be going on in your house.
Zach, you will find this interesting. This study that started the conversation, the hotel chain Travelodge, they're the ones who came up with the statistic that 25% of adult
they're
males...
They're trying to make you creepy people feel better.
No, listen to this. 1 in 10 single men surveyed admitted that they hide their stuffed animal when their girlfriend stays over. 14% of married men report that they hide their stuffed animal in the wardrobe or under the bed when any family or friends come to visit. So apparently it is something that some adult males are embarrassed about. How about you, Zach?
Not so much. Actually, the girl I'm seeing, I actually told her about it. She thought it was kind of cute.
Right. She thought it was kind of cute because you came up with the cover story of having the kid.
Right.
Which is BS.
She thinks it's cute right up until you can't give it up.
Right. And then when you can't give it up, then all of a sudden it goes from cute to creepy.
In my defense, I installed like a little heart thing there. So you press it. It's very comforting.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Let's squeeze in one more.
How do you feel, How do you feel, peeps?
None of these are my people. These people are all weirdos. I don't like them. Let's try
I'm
Dave.
I'm horny for you.
Let's see what Dave's got going on. He's on line four. Dave, what kind of stuffed animal are you sleeping with, man?
I'm sleeping with a Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. All right. And how old are you?
I'm 20.
How long have you had him?
I had him since I was probably like 5.
Okay. Oh. And is he something you sleep with at home and on the road?
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean... I did, it helps me, like, you know, sense of stability and all that thing, because, you know, I did search and rescue work for a long time, saw some gruesome things, and, you know.
Oh, please, listen to him.
I'm emotionally scarred.
You're gonna hate on a man who's out there saving lives now. Is that what you're gonna be doing?
Mickey Mouse's love.
Then, you know what, whatever, if it's stupid and it works, it's not stupid.
That's not true. It can be stupid and work. Both can be true separately.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
Oh, come on, Chris Hansen. It's not like that at all.
That's exactly what it's like.
Keep doing what you're doing. That's what I say, Dave. Thank you for the call, my friend.
All right. So that's it.
Yep.
So everybody's on Bean's side then, huh?
Yep.
How do you feel about that, Bean? Because we asked for people to call in specifically, and we got almost none that are as bad as you.
What do you mean as bad as? You mean as comfortable and sleeping as well?
They made up backstories so that they felt better about it. One was the kid and the other, but the other one was I keep it on the bedstand.
A neck pillow.
None of them slept with it in bed at home and on the road.
Look, all I know is that it works for me, and I'm able to sleep better because I have sock monkey. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Do you shave down there?
Ralph, Grandma, what's going on?
Game? We love to play.
What's going on down there at the end of the table, Ralph?
A game called Snooki or Chloe.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
This is my favorite game. I love to play host to this game. Chloe or Snooki, here's the game. I will read to you a tweet that was actually tweeted, that went into the Twitterverse, that was received by other Twitterverse. You simply need to identify, was it Chloe or Snooki who pushed the send button on that same said tweet?
And what's fascinating about this game is none of these tweets are ever worth tweeting,
nope.
And neither of these people ever has anything interesting to say.
Nope. And it should be called Chloe, Snooki, or Bean.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might be the wrong guy to be complaining about that.
All right, let's get to the game, shall we? Here's the first. I love reading articles that are so far from the truth. # people are weird. Chloe or Snooki?
That sounds like Chloe to me, and information out about her that she doesn't think is true.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are more people writing personal stories that might be false about Chloe, too, than Snooki. Because Snooki is pretty much an open book right now.
I'm going Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki,
Did you just feel it in your gut, Kevin?
I'm not giving away my secret.
He's just playing for the dollar, Lisa. He's just trying to go opposite whatever another says.
I think his secret is he knows how bad I am at this game, so it's a safe bet to go with the opposite of whatever I say.
Here's the next tweet. Sunday dinner with the fam and bestie.
I think that's Chloe again. I can't see Snooki calling anyone a bestie.
Really?
I
don't watch Jersey Shore. Maybe she does, but it doesn't sound like her to me.
Yeah, I think so you're going Chloe as well?
I think I have to go Chloe as well. Really?
I think so.
All right. If one thing leads to another, I'm going to tell them to get off.
Snooki! Right.
I'm going opposite Dean now.
Here's another tweet. September.
That's it?
That was it.
Come on.
Yep.
How are we supposed to guess?
September.
Bean?
So you want to know how to go off?
Yes.
I'm going to just, for no reason, say Snooki on this one.
I'm going Chloe.
I am going Snooki.
Chloe it is. Chloe announcing for us what month we were in. God bless her.
I'm 0 for all.
Kevin won, Lisa won, Bean none. No wonder he didn't want to bet a dollar.
Is it weird that I love to go grocery shopping? Ha! Is the tweet. Is it weird I love to go grocery shopping?
Bean's making the Chloe sound. Does that mean that's it?
I can't believe that these people are real. You're no longer allowed to make fun of my tweets when these people exist.
Of course we can make fun of your tweets. Yours are just as bad.
We're all waiting for me.
Oh, you're waiting for me?
Yes.
What the hell? I'll say Chloe. For no reason other than I got to pick one, I'll say Chloe.
Kevin?
I'm going Chloe as well.
I am too.
You're all correct. That was Chloe. I need a nice cold juicy peach right now. I need a nice cold juicy peach
Neither
right
of them
now.
Has eaten fruit in 10 years.
I know.
I'm going Snooki.
I think I am too.
Sure, why not?
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Yeah. Snooki it is.
Right?
I love how people with the same cars always check each other out. Hashtag, mine's better.
I'm going to say Chloe just because that sounds like an awfully complicated, well-put-together, complex tweet for Snooki.
I also think her family has more money, so she probably drives a better car.
Notices that.
I'm going Chloe as well.
We're all Chloe
I'm
going
to have to go Snooki then.
Lisa's going Snooki just for a point.
Yes.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Fitch.
Nice. Snooki!
Lisa's in the lead with two. I have one. Bean still zero.
Bean
this whole time he has zero.
Wasn't there one where you all voted the same person?
I just don't put a point in there.
Yeah. It's a wash. I got you. Okay. Taken two?
Yes!
Exclamation point.
Taken
Well, that's America. That's just America saying that.
Two? Question mark? Yes!
I can see anyone being excited about that, but I'll just say Snooki. I'll say Snooki on this one.
Chloe.
Taken two, yes. Snooki.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
So now it's a tie at the top between Kevin and Lisa, right?
That's right.
Yep.
All right. We'll keep going now. At this point, sudden death.
Okay.
We have
except
a winner.
Except for Bean.
Bean is out between Kevin and Lisa.
So should I bother even weighing in?
Yes, because I need to know which way to go.
It's right not to go.
I'll never stop dreaming, is the tweet.
On.
I'll never stop dreaming.
What about when you die?
I'll never stop
And
dreaming.
Is that like dreaming about life or dreaming when I sleep?
I'm guessing it's dreaming about life, I'm assuming.
I'm going to say Chloe because she at least has ambition. Snooki doesn't, so I think Chloe would be doing the dreaming.
I'm going with Snooki.
I'm going with Snooki as well.
Chloe!
Kevin.
I could have.
Bean
was clawing back in. 2-2-1.
This is. I just scored a field goal down by 24 with 2 minutes left.
I can't ever watch surgeries on TV. Freaks me out.
Oh dear God.
I'm going with Chloe.
All right.
I'm going to go with Snooki.
All right.
Let's put this baby
going
to bed.
For the win.
I'll say Chloe for this one.
Chloe.
Yay!
Give
you a dollar.
Mother effer.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
We'll play another round of our game, Snooki or Chloe, coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also talk some more about the sex change story that we covered yesterday with Tom Gable from Against Me. We're looking for listeners who have gone through or are going through the sex change reassignment right now. And comedian Reggie Watts, too. It's all coming up on K-Rock.
Right now, time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We have a wheel that has a bunch of stories on it about animals. We don't have time for all of them, so we have to spin it and pick one. We have the albino cyclops shark. We have the Doomsday Prepper Survival Kitty. We have the Badass Super Soldier Ants, mm-hmm. Harvey Dent, mm-hmm. the Two-Faced Kitten, Erwin, wow. the Formerly Paralyzed Kangaroo.
When is it going to land on that? I'm dying to talk to him.
Toto, the Tornado Kitten, the Icelandic Worm Monster, the Evil Tear-Sucking Bees, Meow, the 39-pound cat in heaven.
Oh, he's in heaven since the last time we didn't land on him.
We sent out his picture like a week ago, Dad. Houdini, the Australian Runaway Goat. And mm-hmm. that's it.
All right.
So let's spin the wheel and see what happens.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
No.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Very exciting. All right, go ahead and spin that wheel. Let's see which phone call we're going to be making to get more information on one of the headlines on the wheel.
Oh, it's the evil tear-sucking bees.
What?
Yeah! Fantastic. This is a bizarre story. Apparently there is a type of bee that feeds on your tears.
I've never heard of that.
You must be talking about the Lashaglossum Gotham.
Exactly, that one.
That's the species, right?
It says it dines on delicious human sweat and tears.
Ew.
That's interesting.
Once a bee has settled, more approaching, these tend to settle near each other in a row. They're kind of small bees, so you don't sort of notice them.
They're
at
not
first.
The regular size, huh?
Closing the eye did not necessarily dislodge the bees, but some continued to suck at the slit.
Excuse me?
You close your eye, and the bee's fine because it can still get right in the corner of your eye.
That's
how gross
horrifying.
Is that?
But what did you say that it did? What does it do when you close the eye?
It says closing the eye doesn't dislodge the bees, but some continued to suck at the slit.
Okay, that is not Office OK language, Kevin.
No, that's bees. They're sucking about bees in your eye slit.
Well, we asked producer Dave, is there any way in a million years, and when did we ask him this since he just landed on it 30 seconds ago?
30 seconds ago. He's
30
quick.
Seconds ago. We said, is there any way we could talk to the evil bees that are coming to drink your tears? And apparently we have them on the line right now.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're very good. Are you the king bee?
I am not the king bee, but I am certainly one of the bee leaders. Yes.
I see. Okay. All right.
I didn't even know there was such thing as a king bee. I thought it was a queen bee. That's
there
the one the story
bee,
I always
yes,
heard.
And I work for her. I am a direct liaison. I am in the human bee liaison department
I see.
Of the
oh,
Queen's
I see.
Court.
I see. Oh, that's excellent. Okay, well, we got exactly the right person then. So this was all news to us, but apparently you guys drink tears. What do? You extract the salt out of the water that comes from our eyes or what?
There are proteins and salts in your tears that actually are very beneficial and nutritious to us.
But you understand that when we're crying as humans, we're usually sad. We're very upset. It doesn't help us to have a bee land on our eye.
We can't. That's not our problem, really. Oh. You're ugly.
Well, that's true, but so are you.
Oh, you ugly. You are so ugly. Oh, I heard your dog just died.
What? Oh, you want me to cry?
Is there a lady there? Yeah, hey, lady, I heard your dog just died.
What?
You know that little dog you're talking about in that BS commercial you were
yeah.
doing?
Yeah. Boner.
Yeah, your mom just called. Your dog's dead.
Oh, no. Man.
Isn't she sad?
So that's what you do is you just make everybody sad so they cry and then you get food.
Hey, your reading glasses look really dumb, big guy. Those round Harry Potter glasses
those
you wear.
Those do look dumb.
You look
hey.
Like an asshole.
Hey, don't hurt.
Are you sad? Is it making you cry? Are you sad?
It does hurt. It stings a little bit. No pun intended. It
stings a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, really, what color is that hair you dyed? What's that hair all about?
Blonde.
Doesn't look blonde. Looks dumb. Cry. Cry. Cry for me. You gonna squirt a few? You gonna squirt a few tears?
Come on.
He's got quite the strategy, doesn't he?
That's a toss-up. Really? You call yourself a radio professional?
Wait.
You should be embarrassed.
Why still me?
Come on. Cry. You people.
One of the most anticipated films of 2012 is finally here at midnight tonight. We're talking The Avengers. Ladies and gentlemen, Clark Gregg, one of the stars of the show, Agent Paul Coulson, joins us here on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hey, Clark, how are you, man?
I'm very good. Very much an honor to be here.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Yeah. Okay, I take it back.
Silly.
You're ridiculous. You have been a guy who has been working, it seems to me, continuously, which is pretty rare for an actor, for a long, long time. I mean, have you ever been between jobs, Clark? It seems like you're never off my TV or off my movie screen.
I'm glad that that illusion has been presented because I feel like I spend an awful lot of time desperately seeking the next gig.
Waiting by the phone.
But less so once Agent Coulson came into the universe, then there was a certain amount of
When did Agent Coulson first make his appearance on the big screen? Was it Iron Man?
It was a small part in the original script of Iron Man, and I kind of thought, oh, man, is this guy expendable?
But was it intended to be?
Not at first. I was talking to the guys from Marvel because I said, no, I'm pretty sure if my memory serves me, this. I didn't say all this cool stuff originally in Iron Man. They said, no, you're right. There was a kind of cool, snarky dynamic with you and Tony Stark. And so they decided to make him S.H.I.E.L.D. And we still weren't even sure if that was going to, you know, the writers came up with it, if that was going to be the way we got to the Avengers, although that was our hope.
Right.
And then really, it's kind of one of the cool things they've done is they just kind of – they definitely had a fiendish master plan that you're seeing the fruits of this weekend.
Yeah.
But they really evolved it as it went along, and I was in the very right place, right time.
But you should take full credit for making all of it happen
since you didn't let me finish, and it was all because of – no.
It's got to be enormously gratifying for you to have started off that way, and then in this film, there's so much – fleshing out of your character. You become such a fully formed human being finally in the Avengers.
Yeah,
you know, which
absolutely.
Is great.
Every bit of it has been kind of, I grew up, I read some of these comics. I was into Marvel. I was into this stuff when I was a kid. Spent way too much time scribbling various superheroes on notebooks that should have had math, which is probably why I'm in the arts at this point. So, you know, they said, oh, listen, we want you in Iron Man 2. We're going to bring Coulson back. I was like, really?
That was a shock.
I was a bit of a shock, wow. Yeah. And then I was doing a scene from Iron Man 2, and they said, oh, this time tell him you got to go. Tell him you're going to New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And obediently, you know, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to do that. And then at the end I said, I'm sorry, what's
in New Mexico?
What's in New Mexico? They said, oh, Thor.
There's a big
Thor.
Hammer waiting for you there.
Yeah, no one told you? You're in Thor.
What?
And then Joss Whedon came up to me at Comic-Con and said, listen, I want to introduce you as part of the cast of The Avengers. And
That's how you found out?
Oh, absolutely.
I was the worst agent in the world.
No, it's Marvel's. Marvel thinks that they're really the CIA.
They keep all that close to the vest.
He said, yeah, let me introduce you as part of the cast. And at that point, I kind of looked around for Ashton Kutcher like,
right.
Somebody who knows me is playing the meanest prank in the world.
Right.
And even so, I thought when I got the script, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I've seen that cast.
Right.
I'm going to be bringing the Hulk a Jamba Juice. And, you know, to my shock, you've seen it. Yeah. Coulson is very much front and center.
That's our amazement, is that they wasted no one.
They wasted no one.
We were just talking about how Joss really serves everyone. Everyone gets their moments. Everyone gets their time on the screen, and they're what they deserve. You know?
It's kind of, you know, it's remarkable because all of us thought, well, how's he going to do this? You can't do it. How are you going to take care of everybody without it kind of feeling like an episode of The Love Boat and, you know, let's cut back to Bob Denver now?
Right.
And
Good reference, by the way, for our audience especially.
People don't know that he's Tony Stark's little brother.
That's right, yeah.
To get the script and have it kind of, you know, have all those people, but in a story that just works on its own.
Yeah.
And then to be, for my money, is the funniest one of all.
I agree.
It's
the funniest one of all, genuinely. And I'm not a comic book geek at all. I never read any of these.
Yeah.
But all of the laughs are real. They're not manufactured bad jokes that they put in action movies.
Yeah,
they're all character-based. It comes out of the situation.
It's naturally funny.
Well, Whedon's a great writer. I mean, we've known this for years. And to watch him orchestrate this juggernaut of a film is pretty remarkable. You know?
I have a question for you. I just want to back up a couple steps. So you're at Comic-Con, and was your plan to just sit in the audience and watch the Avengers presentation? Is that what you were there to do?
No. I was there to do the panel for Thor. And I was already having because of the first year I'd been, like, I think it was before Iron Man, I'd been there. And I went around and got the comics that I always, you know, that I wished I had still and had a blast. And then the next year I was there for the Thor panel and I went out to pick up a few more comics. And all of a sudden there was, like, people following me going, it's Coulson, because they think I actually can get them into S.H.I.E.L.D.
sure,
of course,
there's
right.
a little disconnect. I'm like, no, just acting.
A bit.
And And then I was backstage basically before the panel, and he comes over. And
That's the strangest way I've ever heard that somebody found out they're in a movie.
Kind of great though.
Yeah,
I love fantastic.
I love that he introduced himself to you too.
I know, which is hilarious.
You didn't know who he was, which is funny to me.
And he's a big geek too. He's a huge comic book geek. Josh
oh yeah,
says.
No, he writes comics.
That's one of the reasons I think the movie succeeds so well is because the love he has for the material really shines through. I think on the screen.
Yeah, that's great. I feel that way too.
And when you're in a scene like that, and you were talking about playing with all the big boys and being a fan, when you're on the set and you look around and there's Captain America and Tony Stark and the Hulk and everything, and you're in the world, is there ever a moment where you kind of say, this is like the coolest thing?
Hold on for that answer. We need to take a break.
No,
you're
a
man.
No, wait.
He won't remember.
I'm not going to remember the question. I'm 50.
Ralph will remember.
Would you say the most confused guest we've ever had?
I've never seen anyone put on the headphones more, that's for sure.
Clark puts them on, takes them off. Puts them on, takes them off. Puts them on, takes them off.
It's like Rain Man.
It's a thing you guys do where you try to leave the guest the last one with no headphones and doesn't know what's going on.
We're not trying to... It's like Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
I'm paranoid. I'm realizing right here that I'm a paranoid person.
Got to put the headphones on. Yeah.
Got to put the phones on.
Got to put phones on. Yeah.
Got to put the phones on. I need the phones. I want to be the guy who hears everything.
Ray, don't put the... You don't need the headphones, Ray.
No, they're definitely going to put the phones on.
Clark Gregg is here on the Kevin DeBee Show. He is agent Phil Coulson in the Avengers movie, which opens up at midnight. By the way, is the next is Nick Fury? Is that what's coming up next? Is Nick Fury? Is that the next movie?
I don't know if they're doing
I'm
a solo.
Sorry,
movie.
My headphone suddenly went dead.
I see.
I think
he's not allowed to mention.
Marvel has a squelching device that actually just shuts off everything when you ask it.
I know Iron Man 3 is already in production. They're working on that one.
They start
next.
That in a couple weeks.
I think there's another Thor in the works. They're talking about a Hulk movie now because the character of the Hulk and Ruffalo's performance, which is genius in this,
he was great.
Has sort of revitalized the concept of going back to the Hulk franchise again and trying to get it right.
Hulk is so funny that they're actually talking a Hulk sitcom. It's called Smash! Exclamation point. It's really going to be good.
Before we move on, you asked a question. We had to take a break.
Yeah. Clark mentioned that he's sort of a comic book geek, and he grew up reading the comics. And I was thinking, as an actor, when you're on the set and the guys are in costume and you're there with Thor and Captain America and Iron Man, is there that geek moment? Do you have that little boy moment where you realize that you have the coolest job?
All right, we have to take another break.
Come on!
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Can I say it now?
Yeah.
Okay. The fans. Some of the fans have a term that I've learned, which is fantastic, and it's called squee.
Squee.
S Q U E E E. And I'll tell you, I kept reading it, going, "What does that mean?" And then I walked onto the helicarrier, and it's a helicarrier.
Yes, it is.
And I walked into the first scene, and I thought, I walked through the door, and all of a sudden, I was looking at a kind of round table. Around which was seated, you know, Thor, Captain America, Bruce Banner, Nick Fury, and Black Widow.
Right.
And I thought, squee.
You knew what that meant
totally
at that
squee.
Moment.
I get it now. Yeah. It's squee. And I look around, and it's, you know, it's Robert Downey and Jeremy Renner and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. it's an actor squee
and
on
Kobe,
the other end
and,
of it.
I'm having the actor squee, too, you know.
What a great experience.
Pretty good gig. I was like, what did I do right?
Until Iron Man came along, did most people who would recognize you on the street know you from New Adventures of Old Christine or West Wing? Were those the two biggies probably in your resume, you think?
Mostly. I mean, to a certain extent, I was still getting that like, wait, I feel like you went out with a friend of mine. Who are you?
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, definitely people, Old Christine had its fans and has its fans.
Not from the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles?
No, not too much.
Not too much?
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Can you tell real quickly your memory of that experience? Because I read that article. It was so funny. Yeah. Just briefly, what you remember most from working on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
I'm getting in trouble for this one because
right.
It sounds so much worse than it is.
But it's so good.
But I was doing an interview in New York and a guy said, listen, you've been around. You're a wily old vet. You've done a lot of jobs. Let me just say the names of some of your, you know, more and less memorable gigs, and you just say the first thing that comes to mind. And he said, Young Indiana Jones. And I said, Lunch at Hooters with George Lucas. Which sounds bad, and I'm sure I'm going to get a call
Doesn't
from
sound
George
bad.
Lucas.
That sounds awesome.
It was really good to me. Speaking out, but it was the only restaurant next to this hotel in North Carolina, and he was nice enough. Like saw this, like you know, guest actor.
It's also the only time that a man has walked into a Hooters and not recognized the waitresses because he's sitting across from George Lucas.
That's true.
That's just crazy.
But I always think it's so fascinating, though. I mean, we talk, you know, we talk to a lot of actors on this program, and you're a guy who, you know, you do The Practice and you do Sex in the City and you do whatever gig you can get. And it must almost be like your life just changes just by happenstance when you end up in a role like this. I mean, everything is going to be different now, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a task because I've been beaten down so long to become insufferable this quickly, this late in life, but I'm working hard. I know a couple of...
Good luck with that.
I know a couple of particularly insufferable people that I'm going to kind of hang around with and get tips.
That's great. How difficult is it to keep all of those secrets? I mean, how long ago did you film this?
This was shot from kind of May to September.
Of last year.
Of last summer.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
I ripped through other question. That was a stupid question. That was this year.
Last year.
We haven't reached September of this year yet, Kevin. That'd be a physical impossibility.
It's going to be live shooting that we're going to see this weekend. All right, I take that back.
I just had to take off my headphones. Reboot for a second. May, September. They called me last year and just said, listen, you know, we're going to send you a script. This, you know, he wasn't kidding. Do you actually have a bigger part? And I thought, really?
Yeah. You still kind of still, I feel doubted like. It a little bit.
And then I read it and it was like, this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. No one's told me, but I'm only going to be here for about another 2 weeks on the planet.
This is your farewell. Let's not spoil anything, people.
What?
Huh? No, he said a Make-A-Wish Foundation. That's what they give to kids who are saying goodbye.
Yeah, I thought someone gave me this one.
When they go to leave the planet.
I understand. Okay. I apologize.
Why don't you not spoil anything, douchebag?
The Avengers opens at midnight tonight. You can say not very much about it, but what are your plans for the weekend, Clark Gregg?
You know, I gotta say it's a really fun gig to have because the fans are so into it, and you know, this doesn't come along that often in your life. There's going to be some people already parked out there. There's people who are watching the AMC marathon where they're watching kind of all five Marvel movies leading up to midnight tonight. So without saying too much, I can say that I will be up late tonight, kind of going around seeing if I can't surprise a few of those screenings.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic!
You know, buy some people some popcorn, thank them.
Awesome. Are there cast members too, or just are you the only one who's lurking?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are still, you know, they're at the premiere in God knows where tonight, Berlin,
Uzbekistan, or something.
Yeah, they're kind of all over the world working. So I don't know who else will be there but me.
Awesome.
So that'll be like people are like one of the Avengers is here. It's Clark Gregg.
No, they want to say it's Coulson.
It's Coulson.
Get me in the shield.
Well, it's a fantastic movie. Ralph and I both have seen it, and it is really – he's a comic book geek. I'm not at all. We both just
love
it.
So works on all levels all moviegoers.
There's a little something for everyone, as we like to say.
There really is. And you're fantastic in it.
Thank you so much.
Paul Coulson. So thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Take the headphones with you when you leave, Clark.
If you'd allow me, I would feel so much better.
Yes. Time for a new Asperger's quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
My favorite Bond movie.
Man, Bean has Asperger's.
On Dr. Asperger.
He will not accept it.
Asperger. He's the man with misfiring synapse.
Okay, I think we've heard just about enough.
And he loves maps.
He sure does.
I actually do enjoy maps.
Yeah. He really loves maps.
And the dictionary.
I do love the dictionary.
He digs those maps.
Yeah, he likes maps.
They are fun.
Here's the thing, Bean.
I have Asperger.
As in with Hollywood, when a guy is truly gay and just will not admit it.
Liberace.
Everybody spends the rest of their lives trying to prove it because why don't you just admit it?
Right.
We wouldn't be giving this quiz if you would just say, I have Asperger's.
And if you would get some help.
But you do have it.
Right.
According to Dr. Drew as well. You score off the charts on these quizzes, and yet you still continue to claim that you do not have it.
And it's not, this is not a radio bit. I honestly, and I'm leveling with you guys now, do not believe that I have
you
Asperger's.
You are right.
I really don't.
You really don't.
What?
Let me tell you why you're a liar. Because we've given you these quizzes and you score like 98%. And that's not a joke.
But that's just a quiz, though. That doesn't mean anything.
In Bean's defense, this is from the Autism Research Center, and it says that the test, the Autism Quotient, or AQ test, was developed to indicate whether it is likely a person has Asperger's. It is not meant to replace a formal medical diagnosis.
Right,
but Bean refuses to get diagnosed medically, so we have to do this.
Yeah, this is like going on WebMD and going, oh, I have a rash. I must have what it says there on the internet without actually seeing
a
doctor.
Right, so it's 50 questions long. We don't have time for all of them, but we'll go through some of them just randomly and see if there's at least an indication, a likelihood of perhaps Bean having
that
Asperger's.
That maybe.
Maybe.
he should seek some help.
He should get a medical professional to evaluate
him. That would make all of our lives much easier.
Yes, if he would just take some steps to try to cure the horrible, horrible person that he is.
My understanding is there's nothing that can be done for it anyway, by the way. But let's hear what you got in your little
quiz. How about death? Would that solve it?
That would work.
Let's start with this. I prefer to do things on my own rather than with others.
Of course. Yes, you know that. You know that before you ask the question.
Well, that's question number one. What do you want from me? I prefer to do the same things the same way over and over again.
I have a system. What's wrong with that?
Just because Bean wanted to go to a Mexican restaurant the other day and couldn't because he couldn't physically make his car stop at that restaurant
He
had to drive on to Denny's where he eats all the time doesn't mean one's true.
I really wanted to, but I couldn't.
I was looking forward to Mexican food and wanted to go to that restaurant, but I couldn't do it.
It just skeeved me out when it actually came time to do it. I couldn't do it, and I wanted to go and sit in my same chair at Denny's and get the same Grand Slam that I always
That's
get.
That's normal. I don't know why you... I often notice small sounds when others do not.
What was that?
What's that high-pitched noise I keep hearing? I usually notice car number plates or similar strings of information.
Okay, that one really surprised me the first time that one came up on a quiz because I thought everybody noticed license plate numbers.
Right, but that's the point is you that don't understand that you do have Asperger's and not everybody does.
And I can't look at a piece of U.S. currency without seeing number combinations and serial numbers either.
Are you serious?
They jump out at me.
Other people frequently tell me that what I've said is impolite, even though I think it is polite.
Oh, my God.
Beer Mug, would you say that's accurate?
Oh, yeah. My God.
Why don't you have three boobs, Jessica Biel? What? That was a perfectly legitimate question.
Wow.
I am fascinated by dates. Number nine.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Today's 7-Eleven. I'm very excited.
I find social situations difficult.
All right. Look, can we just...
I tend to notice details that others do not. I'd rather go to a library than to a party. I find myself drawn more strongly to things than to people.
Of course, because things are awesome.
Bean, we'll stop if you'll admit you have it.
I don't have it, but it's ridiculous to keep going. We're out of time.
I tend to have very strong interests, which I get upset about if I can't pursue. When I talk, it isn't always easy for others to get a word in edgewise.
Says Ralph, who does the showbiz beat.
I am fascinated by numbers. I notice patterns in things all the time.
Okay, look.
I get upset if my daily routine is disturbed.
Oh.
I am very good at remembering phone numbers.
We gotta go. We're really
just
out of time now.
It is difficult for me to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored.
Oh, dear God, yes.
People often tell me that I keep going on and on about the same thing.
That's enough.
I like to collect information about categories of things. Types of cars, birds, planes, etc. I don't enjoy meeting new people. Okay. I don't enjoy social situations.
I will admit...
I am not diplomatic.
I will admit that this quiz hits on some things that may be consistent with my life.
What percentage of those questions was your answer no? The answer's zero. Those were all yeses for you.
I think Ralph was picking and choosing the ones that he thought best made his point.
You want me to read the rest of the 50
Let's
questions?
No, I don't.
Come on. Let's keep going.
Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus is coming up right around the corner. I mean, September 8th. What's that, next weekend? It's at the Home Depot Center. You can listen all day long, in fact, all week long here on K-Rock to give away. We're giving away tickets, including not only the show, but a private Linkin Park dress rehearsal. We have those for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, comedian Reggie Watts on the way, Jay Moore, and Dr. Drew.
I hate politics. I hate politicians. I hate people who are very political because most of the time they're super extreme and they bug me.
Mm-hmm.
But this Mitt Romney looks like he's going to be the Republican candidate, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He's going to be the nominee.
Certainly. Now he's got his wife out there, Ann Romney, telling people that he's not quite as square as it would appear.
Well, here's what's happened, is that he's generally considered to be a pretty boring guy. And, you know, President Obama has that kind of cool factor, a lot of people say. You know, he's slow jamming the news and he's playing basketball. He's doing all these things. And Mitt Romney, some people's complaint is he's just a super rich white guy who's kind of out of touch with people and kind of square, as you mentioned. So, you know, his wife, apparently very personable, very likable. She's out there on the campaign trail saying, look, you don't know this guy. He seems button up. You know, that's what they do in politics is they want to put you over here in a box or something like that. But if you got to know the guy, you'd realize he's the boy that I met in high school and fell in love with him. And he's crazy. He's a wild and crazy man just dying to get out.
She used the words wild and crazy,
which... Look, I don't have anything against Mitt Romney.
I don't either.
I might even end up voting for the guy. But I look at him and I go, you know what? Not wild and crazy. I know that much.
Not one or the other.
I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd try to find a little bit more out about this story. And believe it or not, producer Dave has been able to line up the presumptive Republican nominee for president of the United States. Mr. Mitt Romney joins us on the phone for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Romney.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Very good.
Well,
thank
we're
you.
Fine, sir. I know you're extremely busy with the campaign. We very much appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you, and thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
You heard us talking about your wife in the comments
yeah.
that she made?
Yeah, Annie can be well, obviously she's my best friend, but she's out there telling people I'm a wild and crazy, and it's a little pressure on me, but I guess she knows me better than anybody, and I guess I do have that side of me.
You would consider that true?
You're
wild and crazy?
I'm certainly more fun and more crazy, more out there than the Democrats and the media would certainly have you believe.
I see. Okay.
Well, when you're doing campaign events, you're a little bit buttoned up. You're trying to stay on message. She says that if we got you away from those cameras and see how you just relate to regular folks, we'd be surprised at what a difference it makes.
Even on the campaign trail, I'm pretty out there.
You are?
I like to have a good time. I like to have a lot of fun. I forget where we were campaigning recently, and I was filling up the minivan at the gas pump.
Right.
And, of course, usually I like to, pump it until it's a very even amount with how much you have to pay. You know, round it up to the nearest dollar, like $20, $21.
Right.
And this time I just left it uneven. I didn't care.
Are you kidding?
$20, like 73 cents.
Wow.
Renegade.
That's crazy.
I'll tell you, we had a good laugh about
that. I bet you did. That is insane. Slow down, Governor. Slow down.
The week before that, I was getting ready for a press announcement, and I was up pretty early, and I put on one of my favorite sweater vests. And I realized once I got to the local station where I was doing the publicity that I had put it on inside out.
No.
And you know what? I just left it.
You didn't leave it.
Yeah, I didn't change it. I just left it inside out. No, I don't think anybody knew, but I did.
That is wild and crazy.
Oh.
What's
that? That's a little horn I like to blow once in a while. little party favor I carry around because I'm wild and I'm crazy.
Right.
And
yeah,
I had that sweater vest on. It was no one. It was completely inside out.
Were you laughing the whole interview to yourself?
It was hard not to bust up.
Sure.
I'll tell you, because here's this reporter and she's saying, blah blah blah, Afghanistan, blah 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 blah, and I'm like, my sweater vest is inside out. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah, we had dinner the other night, and, you know, we love our Jello. And,
right. Right.
We were having dessert, and we had a box of red and the cherry red and the lime also. And so Annie said, could you, get dessert ready? And so I took the red box, and I took the green box. I mixed them together. I made one. It was like a blue Jello. I don't even know what flavor it was, but I'll tell you, I brought that out of the table. Oh, we had a good laugh about that. Like, whoa, what's this Jello? It's crazy.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you ask me to get dessert. You don't even know what's going to come out of the kitchen, you know?
Are you perhaps too wild and unpredictable to be trusted to be president? Now I'm getting a little bit nervous about you.
Some people think so. They think, Mitzi.
No one thinks that.
He's crazy. It's going to be a laugh or riot all the time with the White House and this guy. And
Yeah, we need a steady hand in there,
Well, but I think I know when the pull it back. I think I knew when to be serious and when to let loose, but
right.
I just want to let people to know it can be a good time around the old Mitster. So
sounds like it, yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're in the voting booth, if you want to have a good time. I got a joke for you before I go.
Oh, a joke. Okay. I've never heard you tell a joke before.
Knock, knock.
Who's there? Who's there?
A black person.
Nope.
That's right. Yeah, you got it.
What?
Nope.
The answer's nope?
Yeah.
No, I was just...
I like you. You're my kind of guy.
Oh, no.
I like you.
That's not what he meant.
You're a funny guy.
I
yeah.
don't want to be
I might put
kind...
you on the campaign.
Oh, no.
I hope you have the time of your life.
For those of you in San Diego, got to witness that wonderful, beautiful 4th of July fireworks show.
Time of your life?
Last week.
That's yes. So
dedicated
sad.
That to them?
Dedicated to them. Yep.
We are the Kevin and Bean Show back on the world famous K-Rock. Yeah, the 4th of July just behind us. I didn't hear too many fireworks tragedy stories this year. I didn't hear too many things getting blown off of people. Kevin, what happened to your house?
I was out of town, so a lot of people were asking if the police showed up. They may have, but I was out of town, so I...
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I didn't get to see them.
This is the first time in a long time that you haven't rubbed shoulders with the law enforcement at your house.
That's correct. But in San Diego, I don't know if you saw this story or not. You can go to krock.com, kevinandbean.com, and see the video. Apparently, they had 18 minutes worth of fireworks. I don't know. Is that... That's probably
typical,
right?
That's about right, yeah.
18 minutes of fireworks scheduled for San
Diego. Over 7,000 fireworks, by the way.
So they got them all usually pre-programmed so that they all go up and it all goes according to plan.
Yeah, it's like all timed.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, apparently the tech, the guy running the show, made a small error, a small decision, in which he fired all of them at once.
Holy crap.
So,
well, they're saying it was a computer glitch. They're saying it was not human error. This
oh,
time.
I know.
It was a computer glitch.
I'm sure. I would say that, too.
They are investigating it right now. But, yeah, all 18 minutes went up in about 15 seconds.
Oh, man.
And you know how long it takes to, like, get the family and get the car and go down, find parking, find a place to get a good view of the fireworks?
And they've probably been there a couple of hours.
Sure. Drinking, getting ready, hanging out. And then 15 seconds.
Funny.
How awesome
is that? It
would
be amazing to see what that looked like.
Well, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and see it if you want.
Oh, you got the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
The video's
the
up.
Whole all thing. Right. Yeah, all 10 seconds of it. There's no comeback from that, by the way. It's not like you've got additional fireworks standing by that you can then put on another show. I mean, once it's gone, it's gone. At that point, you're trying to put toothpaste back in the tube. I mean, it's over, right?
Everybody's looking at you like, what else is there? And you go, well, I got nothing.
This company, by the way, this company that that is in charge of the fireworks down there in San Diego, they do fireworks all over the country, and they did tons of other shows that same day, didn't have any problem. They have not yet figured out what the glitch was in San Diego that caused everything to shoot off at one time.
That's awesome.
But Beer Mug, you've been there where you think it's going to last a long time and then it all shoots off at once. You know what they're talking about, right?
Dare you!
So, like we do from time to time after holidays, we're looking for your disastrous, in this case, 4th of July holiday stories. We're looking for people who had comparably bad 4th of Julys to the guy who ran the computer for this show.
Doesn't have to necessarily be around fireworks, although that's always funny, but it could be around friends who are drinking all day on that day and things go terribly south. That could be one of the things that you want to call about. Just bad 4th of July stories. Bean, I don't know if you remember. I don't think you were even there. Remember, where was it? Now I'm trying to even remember where it was. I set off a fireworks show early one time, about 10 minutes before it was supposed to start, and it was set to music.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
It was set, like it was supposed to be set at a certain time I was supposed to start this music, and I thought that I would play, I forget, did Neil Diamond or one of those guys do a patriotic song?
America. That's
America.
It.
Yeah. So I thought I would play that right up to when the fireworks show was supposed to start. I didn't know that was
their first song?
It was the first. Yeah, it was
that was the kickoff song of the fireworks.
It was the kickoff song of the fireworks. So as soon as I started it, the fireworks started going and the phone started ringing and everybody's like, what are you doing? I was working at a radio station. I was like, I'm just playing a patriotic song. That's the first song for the fireworks. What do we do? So, you know, they tried to stretch it out. That's a little easier than sending them all up in 18 seconds or whatever it was in San Diego. But what a disaster.
The thing about the 4th of July holiday and the reason we want to take your disaster calls at 1-800-520-1067 is that it's a long holiday weekend for some people, although falling on a Wednesday this year didn't do us any favors in terms of the long weekend. But it's generally hot. There's generally a lot of partying and a lot of drinking and a lot of people involved. And that's where a lot of things can go wrong.
And for me, usually the authorities are involved in one way or another.
And people get their fireworks from shady places sometimes, so you never know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, that's the fun of it.
When you light it.
That's the fun of it, is that you really don't know where it's going to go or where it's going to blow up or any of that kind of stuff.
I mean, I know we got M80s from Mexico in the past, and you just never know what if you're going to lose a hand or...
Yeah.
Or I'm just going to go poof.
That is the fun, is just trying to figure out what part, body part you're going to lose this year. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number for 4th of July nightmares. Whether it was your family, it was going to ending up at the hospital. That always happens on the 4th of July. You had stitches. You had to be repaired at the hospital. Firework mishaps. Police showed up. People got arrested. Bottles got, you know, hit over the head. Any of the above. 1-800-520-1067, and we'll take your 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 735. Congratulations to Christian Sandoval, who from Paris, California, by the way.
Okay.
Who just won
the good Paris.
Won the grand prize win to Road Trip USA Stop Number 1, which is fun, at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's cool.
How about that?
Keep on listening. We'll be hooking you up with tickets for Epicenter, and then you'll win the grand prize drawing this Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show to see one of the Epicenter bands of your choice, STP or Bush or Deftones, whoever you like, somewhere else around the world. It's Road Trip Destination Number 2. Right now we're talking about fireworks or 4th of July disasters. That story down in San Diego, and again, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and see 18 minutes worth of fireworks going up in 10 seconds. That got us thinking. You know, there are a lot of potential things that can go bad over the 4th of July holiday weekend. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we get started with Ariel on line 3? This is a good old-fashioned 4th of July story that involves losing body parts. Ariel, thank you so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good morning.
What happened?
What happened?
So my neighbors are Jehovah's Witness, so they don't celebrate nothing. And the day after 4th of July, they had gone to the beach that night instead. And they came home with just leftover fireworks that they had found on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And the older brother, that's my neighbor, had two younger siblings. So he had an M80 and wanted to snap in half so his younger siblings didn't get to it.
Sure.
And so when he snapped it, it wasn't a dud. And when he did, it made his fingers come off, like four of his fingers, three on one hand and one on the other.
It exploded?
And we've never heard someone scream so loud in my life.
Oh, so he lit it. It blew up in his hand and blew off four fingers. And your takeaway from that is how funny his scream was?
It was so sad at the time, but now it's funny though.
Oh, man.
Dude, how far away from him were you when this happened?
Well, we're direct neighbors, so everyone was in the backyard, and we just heard it. When everyone ran outside, he was in his driveway with his hands over his face, so we thought his face had exploded, but it was his fingers. I mean, his mom even brought the fingers with her in the ambulance, but they couldn't put them back.
He didn't have his hands over his face. He had his palms over his face.
Yeah.
That's all that was available.
So how many fingers in total did he lose? Did you say he lost 7 altogether?
4. It was 4.
4 fingers. That is a 4th of July to remember. My God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you for the call. Those of you who don't know, the M80 is not just a firecracker.
It's
about 1,000 firecrackers. It's pretty strong.
Let's talk to Joe now. Joe's on line 2 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's our 4th of July post show, I guess. How did it go for you, Joe?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May. Good morning,
Hi.
Guys.
Good morning.
This was a 4th of July about 15 years ago, and we're all the neighborhood kids were in my neighbor's garage, you know, just messing around with little fireworks, and my brother had the bright idea. Put a bunch of gunpowder into one of those little CO2 cartridges, the little metal CO2 cartridge,
sure.
About 3 inches long.
Sure.
And so we're all messing around, you know, pinching Piccolo Pete's or something, and he walks down to the street to see if it'll go off, and the next thing we hear is this huge explosion that literally rattles the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother comes stumbling up the driveway with blood gushing down his leg. So we call 911 and everything. And,
wait, where's it gushing from if it's coming down his leg?
Is gushing from just above the knee.
Oh, his leg, okay.
Above his knee.
All right, good.
And so we call 911, and the ambulance comes, and we figure out that what happened is that the CO2 cartridge had exploded and sent a rock flying through his leg and left an exit wound of about 3/4 inch.
Oh, my God.
Through his leg.
Yeah, and left a metal piece of shrapnel inside his leg.
Oh,
right
my
in the middle
God.
Of his leg. Missed his femoral artery by about 2 millimeters.
And people say homemade fireworks aren't safe.
But the funniest part of the whole thing was when the ambulance came.
Wait, there's something funnier than what you've told us so far?
So far, both stories have ended funny.
The craziest part was the fire marshal came up to my parents afterwards. The fire marshal had come with the ambulance and explained to them that the explosion had registered on the fire department's blast meter as a homemade grenade.
Sweet!
Oh, my God.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, so he's okay now, but he's got a sweet scar and a little piece of metal as a good little souvenir.
As a gift.
No. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah,
by
no
the way, Kevin, I know that you'll never, ever subscribe to this, but isn't it possible that fireworks are best left to the professionals?
Don't be dumb.
I know it sounds ridiculous.
Look, here's the thing. Never mind.
What's the thing?
The thing is, if you buy cheap fireworks, they're cheap. When you go big, they're pretty reliable.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty
okay.
good. That's all.
Let's try Sam on line 5.
Not
Sam
is that I'm suggesting anyone should do that, because it's against the law, and that would be wrong.
Sam is calling us here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Sam, talking about great 4th of July. How was yours?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Actually, this last past 4th of July, I was in Long Beach with a couple of my buddies, and we lit a mortar off.
A mortar?
Problem, yes. Like, you know, the one that shoots them in the sky and
sure.
does, like, a little blimp?
Uh-huh.
Problem was, after it shot up in the sky, it didn't detonate. So it came back down and went off at ground level.
Oh, no.
As we're all standing around.
Because
so,
that's a pretty big explosion, those mortars.
Yeah. Two car windows later, we're all scrambling trying to run inside. We ended up having to run and hide in my buddy's apartment and turn off all the lights and lay on the ground because the cops came around looking for it, looking for whoever did it. And we were actually down there for about an hour.
Sweet.
And the funny part of my story was, as we were sitting down there, we were all starting to get thirsty, and there was still a cooler of beer next to us. So as we're sitting on the ground in the apartment in the dark, waiting for the cops to go, we'll just start cracking beers and keep on drinking.
All right. Good work. The party
must continue.
Independence
Day, remember. Thank you very much. Let's try Heath, line 4. Heath has a story that's kind of reminiscent of what happened down in San Diego where the fireworks didn't go as planned. Hi, Heath. Welcome.
Hey. Morning, guys.
Hi morning. There.
Go ahead.
What happened?
Yep. Well, this is when I was growing up in Kansas City. Everyone would come out to this big grass area, and one year all the fireworks went off at the same time, and I just remember as a kid running through clouds of smoke to get to the car.
Sweet. You mean you didn't? They were all over the place?
All over the place. The big ones were going right into the crowd. It was a big colorful war zone.
That's awesome. Did anyone get seriously injured?
Not that I know of. I didn't read the papers at the time. I was in, like, second grade.
His parents
but
didn't
I just remember
him.
Being scared.
Just running, being scared out of your mind. And now you hate the 4th of July.
Or he's just disappointed every year now because it's never as much fun as that one, I would imagine.
No, it was exciting.
Well, you should come over to my house. All right, thank you, Heath.
Let's do one more. Let's go to Sal. Sal is a paramedic, so I imagine he's always pretty busy around the 4th of July weekend. Hi, Sal. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, guys? How
Good.
You doing?
Hi there.
Well, this was a couple of years ago. I was a paramedic. We were called out to a beach area, and when we got there, the fire department was there putting out the mortar. There was a guy lying on the sand. When we got there, his left leg, well, what happened was the guy who put down the mortar, the thing went off, lit, landed right on his lap.
Oh,
right on his lap. So his package was fused to his leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Goodness. Yeah. So there's not much we can do. Just some wet gauze, put it on it, and transport him to the hospital. But I heard that it didn't end up too well for him.
But
the messed up thing about it was the guy was like, I wasn't even drinking. I was trying to stay out of trouble. So I sat as far away as I could. I guess it wasn't far enough.
And it landed right on his lap and blew up.
Right. Yeah. Right on his lap. And it just completely looked like just charcoal. Just completely just black.
Did he lose his unit? I mean, as a result of that?
It looked pretty bad. It looked pretty bad. I mean, you can tell. I mean, the degrees of burns were really, really severe.
If it's a charcoal unit, it's going away.
Yeah. So, I mean, I heard, because, we're going through the whole day, 4th of July, just doing this and that. And
sure.
I heard from other paramedics that it just didn't turn out too well. I didn't want to get into it too much because, being as a guy, you cringe just hearing that stuff. So I didn't even want to know.
You never, ever expect when you go to a 4th of July party that you're going to lose your penis. You just don't.
Exactly.
It's just not on the menu.
You never do.
Today I will char my penis is not a thought that you ever have. All right.
Beware.
Thank you.
More highlights of the Honey Boo Boo Child television show on TLC coming up later on today. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage as well. So a couple of weeks ago, a friend of Kevin's came in, a guy who's a police officer, and told us, and we were stunned by this, that there are homeless people out there that are making enormous, enormous money. I mean, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, $200 an hour, some of these guys. And we thought, how is that possible? Because in our minds, the people who are pulling over to the freeway on-ramp, maybe they're giving them a dollar. If they're super generous or super rich, maybe they're giving them $5. But if you're making $100, $200 an hour, either you have to have hundreds of people donating or you have to have people giving 20s. And that doesn't seem likely, right?
I can't imagine people giving that much money.
I can't either. So we wanted to find out about this. It took a while to get this going, but we managed to put Beer Mug out on the street as our homeless guy as a test. Now, of course, this doesn't mean there aren't still other people out there making, you know, even more money or making even less money than Beer Mug did. But Beer Mug, we've been dying to talk about this, and you haven't been able to until the video was posted, which was this morning at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. You can see the video. I want to hear about your experience. First of all, how did you homeless it up? Not that you needed much help in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just went into my closet and just got some old clothes that I didn't wear. Mm-hmm. And I tore a hole in the hoodie I was wearing. I layered up, you know, thinking, you know, if a guy's going to be on the street, he needs to look like he, you know, that's all he has, or right. He needs to stay warm, you know.
Smart.
And I got some shoes, some old shoes, took out the laces, rolled around in the dirt, and there was my outfit.
What did you do to your face? Because I was amazed at how homeless that looked.
All that required was me not taking a shower in the morning, and face gets a little greasy, and I just rubbed my beard around, you know, to make it look disheveled, and I just greased up my hair. And,
oh, yeah. Man.
There was no question that Muggs was going to be our guinea pig, by the way, because he was the one who needed the fewest transformations to look homeless.
Yeah, it was very easy.
So you can see the video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. But let's go through some of the highlights. Beerberg, of course, you know, he gets started. Let's find out what the project's all about.
It's 12:15 and I'm heading out. Thank you. Not even 2 minutes, I already got a dollar. I'm loving it.
He's loving it. So far, it's great. So far, it's the easiest and the best job you've ever had. So how many cars went by you before you started getting paid?
Right when I stepped on the center median, it was the second car in line. Just opened her window and just stuck out the dollar. Aww. I was like, oh my gosh. I just stepped onto the median. This is insane.
And did you feel, I mean, I know that you know, knew why you were there. You weren't trying to scam anyone, and we are donating the money to the LA Mission. So it's, you know, the money is going to help homeless people. But did you feel like sort of like weird and creepy and guilty by taking their money, knowing that you're not a homeless guy?
Well, not only that, Bean, but when I got out there and I was standing out there, the fact that my parents always used to tell me, hey, if you don't do this, you know, if you don't go to school, study up, you're going to be homeless. And it was kind of surreal. Like, I was homeless for the first time in my life. And it was kind of, no offense to, you know, the homeless people and the unfortunate people. I almost felt degraded, you know?
Well, because yes, I was walking out into, begging.
Right. I was walking out into public,
yeah.
You know, looking like, you know, what I looked like, and it was
I'm sure it is. It's very difficult for the psyche to have to do that.
Well, we'll hear as we go through this tape. I think Beer Mug starts to honestly believe he's homeless. I think he starts to lose his mind a little bit just being out there, you know, 45 minutes or so in the heat. Beer Mug has one thing going for him, and I think this really helped. He was very polite.
Thank you so much. God bless. Oh, no, it's all right. Thank you. Have a good day.
She dropped, dropped your coins on the ground or something like that.
Pick it up, homeless man.
Polite was a good angle, and I got to give you props for the God bless, too, because I think that there is a spiritual element to this, too, and people feel like they're, you know, doing the Lord's will when they donate to the less fortunate, I think.
Yeah.
I think you tapped into something there with the God bless. I think that worked for you, Muggs.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, people see you on, you know, and they kind of, their heartstrings are pulled, and that's, you know, I didn't want to, you know, just not say anything. I wanted to, you know.
And some guys don't. All right, here's early returns. Let's see how he's doing so far. A few minutes in.
A lot of looks. She's not looking. I would estimate I'm already at $2. $2 in 10 minutes.
He's thinking the wheels are spinning in his head now.
It's a dollar every 5 minutes.
Whoa. How do you do that math?
I'm good at math.
He's good at math. That's how he does it, Lisa.
It's Muggs such an interesting moment when you see someone on the street and you kind of look down because you know you're not going to give them money. You don't really want to make eye contact. At the same time, you don't really want to ignore them because that seems rude.
I don't know.
Yes.
Bean, is there the audio clip of me talking to the girl in the BMW or no?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out when we get there.
Okay.
Let me know if I miss it. But yeah, we don't have time for all of it.
Okay.
But yeah, you're absolutely right, Lisa, because you're in a spot where you can't win, really, unless you give money. I mean, and that's the goal. And Muggs, by the way, has those soulful eyes and that puppy dog look, and he just looks like, I don't know. I just think he's found his calling. I really do. I mean, radio is not Beer Mug's calling, right?
We all know that.
It's true.
He's not qualified for fast food. I mean, there's most things Beer Mug can't do. I think being homeless is perfect for him. And listen, already, he's been on the street 10 minutes. Listen to how he's already refined his rap.
Change for the homeless. I take quarters, nickels, pennies, half dollars, Susan B. Anthony, sack of Jouias, pennies, cigarettes, anything.
Are you delirious in the heat already?
The cigarette line, it was quite hot that day, and the heat started to get to me.
Mugs ramping up the religion again.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow.
Look after yourself.
Oh, God bless you. Your soul is going to heaven.
I hope so.
You're the coolest one of all your friends. Yes, you are.
Now the homeless guy's hitting on the lady.
Yeah. Keep rolling with her. She's good. Thank you. God bless.
God bless, man. I'm telling you, that's what works.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because this happened to you more than once when you were out on the street for your hour, Beer Mug. People pull up and give you food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, Beer Mug, that's the best. That's really what you want.
Three people. Yeah, exactly. For me. Three people gave me their food out of their lunch.
And think about this for a second, by the way. If part of the reason you donate to homeless people on the street is because you think they're hungry, they're probably not hungry.
Right.
They're probably getting food. They're probably eating as much as they want.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I've heard people, you know, I've given food to the homeless. I walk away right after so I never see what happens. But I've heard, you know, people, you know, they've given food to them and the homeless person just kind of throws the food away.
Well, so, often they don't really want
it. Because there's stuff from the last guy that gave them food.
What would they give you? What kind of food?
Well, here you go, Lisa. Listen up.
All right.
Yeah! Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to eat that right now. Thank you.
And by the way, Beer Mug did. He stuffed everything everybody handed him, no matter whether it was poison or not. He just put it right in his face.
That was the thing, too. I wanted to make sure, you know, they saw me eating it.
That's
you
good.
Know, to kind of, you know.
Beer Mug is now at this point, like I said, he's been out there about 35 minutes or something like that. He's starting to lose his mind a little bit. He's starting to react and talk to people in cars that are going by.
Turn that song up. That's my jam. See me on a first date.
Now he is a homeless guy muttering to himself.
Yeah.
What song is that, Beer Mug? What are you singing?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's... I don't know.
He's stuffing his face. He's singing. He's jumping around like a crazy
person. Sounds fun.
I think he's having a great time. Yeah. I really do.
Dave said it was Usher. It was Usher that I was singing.
Beer Mug is trying to engage. He's trying to get conversations going with every car that goes by now.
How's it going, man? Anything helps. What year is that? 87? I like it. I got to push down my money so it doesn't look like I have that much.
Oh, see, now that's a good tip right there, too, right?
Right. And it was funny. I was driving home yesterday right in front of the station, and there's an actual, you know, legit homeless guy there. He was standing there, Bean and Lisa, counting. He was rolling his ones, just counting. And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
You should pull over and give him a tip.
He's got a stack. I'm telling you.
The heat is starting to get to Mugs.
We got a boysenberry fruit roll-up. There is sweat dripping down my ass into my crack. Give me the cash. Being homeless is hard work.
It is hard work. And finally, after just under an hour on the street, and again, you can see this video right now at kevinandbean.com or krock.com, here's the thrilling conclusion of Beer Mug's homeless experiment.
I just made $14 in change in an hour. That's more than I make with Kevin and Bean. That means I have a new job, ladies and gentlemen. See ya.
Oh, we can only hope.
Bean's dream come true.
Beer Mug, homeless guy. And by the way, $14 isn't $50. It isn't $100. Isn't $200 like we heard some people make. That's more money than a lot of people listening are making right now at their jobs. And they're probably working a lot harder than Beer Mug was.
Oh, yeah. And I bet he'd have better hours at different times. Non-taxed. Like, he'd get better at it.
Non-tax.
That's true.
Non-tax is an important thing. Yeah, that's $14. That's takeaway, $14. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's $20-something an hour.
But I don't want, from this video, I don't want people to, you know, look at homeless people in a different, like, they're all cheating and scamming. But it is possible for somebody like me to go out who's not homeless and appear homeless and make money.
And make it, a good, make a pretty good living, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, and I know I said this before, Ben, but seriously, you, my friend, have found your calling.
There is.
Really have found the thing that you are good at.
Hey, Lisa, can you run the board right now? I got to go outside.
Oh, you know I can.
Perfect.
Well done.
Awesome.
K-Rock World Tour 2012, destination number 5. You go to Amsterdam to see Korn. Your chance to qualify with tickets to the Smokeout Festival coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Khloe Kardashian is now doing a radio show. Nobody needs that, right? That doesn't help our industry.
Are you kidding? The more Kardashian, the better.
She is now living in Dallas, of course, with her husband, Lamar Odom, who plays for the Mavericks. And she is going to be doing a radio show starting, I want to say, today. Starting today on Mix 102.9. I don't know very much more about it than that, but we asked producer Dave if he could line up the beautiful Khloe for us. And I think we've got her on the phone right now. Hi, Khloe. How are you? Oh, wow. Someone answered the phone, but Chloe's not there yet, so she's walking toward it.
Hello?
Hi, Khloe.
Hi. Hi, Ryan. Hi, Alan. How are
nope.
you?
Nope. Kevin and me.
Hi,
Khloe.
Big boy. Hi, Tito. How are you?
No, still Kevin and me, Khloe.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Brian.
Just Kevin and me.
Hi, Carson. Hi, food truck.
What happened to Lamar Odom?
Lamar's busy.
Oh.
I'm here at the station getting ready for the show.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I thought we called you at home. You're at the station.
Yes,
fantastic.
I'm getting ready for the mix-up with Khloe Kardashian Odom. KKO!
Why?
My new sign on. I hope you like it.
It's beautiful. Why are you doing a radio show? Radio is the lowest form
of entertainment. Hold on a second. I'm on the air.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're listening to the mix-up with Khloe Kardashian Odom. KKO with Mix 102.9. Hey, did you see those SAG Awards last night? I give a SAG Award every time I see my sister Kim's butt. All right, we'll be right back after Born This Way by Lady Gaga. We're going to be playing that. And Kim was born this way, born stupid. And we're clear. Okay.
Okay.
What?
Khloe, it sounds like you're talking a lot about Kim.
No, not at all. I didn't bring her up. Why would I? Because I have my own show. I don't need her because she's dumb.
Okay, but you're doing nothing but trashing your sister that made you famous, though. I mean, I don't understand what the point is.
I'm not just her sister, okay? I have my own talents and my own gifts to give to the world.
Okay, what are those?
My sparkling personality.
Is that what it is?
Lovely radio voice.
Why do you want to do a radio show? It seems like you're already everywhere all the time, always. It's not like you don't have an outlet to get your thoughts out there.
I have a gift. I have a dream. And you have to pursue your dreams. I think if our show, Keeping Up the Kardashians, shows anything, it's pursue your dreams. And maybe someday you can be rich and famous like we are. Because that's how we got there, but by pursuing our dreams. And because my mom banged OJ.
Yeah, there's that.
Hold a second. I'm coming out of commercials. Hold a second.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're listening to The Mix-Up with Khloe Kardashian Odom, KKO, on Mix 102.9. I'll tell you, it sure is humid out there in Texas today, isn't it? It's so humid that it's almost like Kim's in between her legs.
Really?
Coming up next is Teenage Dream by Katy Perry. When I was a teenager, my dream was to kill Kim.
Chloe.
All right. Right back after this.
I'm going to move to Texas and do nothing but listen to your show, Chloe.
Thank you. I'm glad.
I'm very excited about this phone topic. I've been looking forward to talking to your people all week long, Kevin. Crazy government conspiracy theorists. Now, by the way, is this you?
No.
A little bit?
No, I distrust the government a great amount. But I don't think they have their S together enough to pull off anything like this.
Kind of stuff people think they're doing.
Anything,
it would come out.
Anything they do, there are leaks. Yeah. Anything they do, there's no possible way that they're competent enough to do what this guy is saying.
Look, before we get to Dave Mustaine and why this is back in the news, and before we take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, of the things that you're convinced the government is behind, the government is engineering, the government is doing that they don't want you to know, let's look back at a little bit of history, because for decades and decades and decades, the government has been involved in some pretty shady stuff, right?
Yeah, oh, no question.
Not to mention scraping up those aliens off the Roswell field and then pretending it was a weather balloon. I mean, let's all remember that cover-up. They clearly faked man landing on the moon.
There's no question about that. That there's no way that could have happened, right? Just look at the photos. We all know that. Why they continued to fake it six additional times going back to the moon, I haven't figured out an answer for that one yet.
Because we bought into the first time.
In all seriousness, though, remember when they were with the Tuskegee Airmen? Lisa, what was the deal? They were injecting black folks with cooties or something down there
syphilis,
for a long time, right?
I believe.
Syphilis. That wasn't cooties. You're right. It was syphilis. And that, yeah. I mean, that's yeah. real. That yeah. happened. The government injected its own citizens on purpose with sexually transmitted diseases. That's something that they did and something that they covered up. So it's understandable why some people are suspicious of the motives of the United States government
oh,
sometimes.
Agreed.
I get that.
Everybody should be suspicious.
Yeah.
Now, I never understand, and of course, you know, since 9/11, which is the defining moment for our adult lives, I never understand the people who are convinced that the government knew about it in advance or worse, planned it for some ulterior motive. I never got that one. I never saw what the draw was for that. But maybe we've got people listening right now who can explain what we're missing about that. Maybe that's another inside job from the government. We just haven't been exposed to the facts yet.
Let's start with the Dave Mustaine tape, if you don't mind. This is him on stage, and he's talking about the Aurora, Colorado shooting, among others, that our government is behind because they want to take away our guns. Here he is.
Back in my country, my president was trying to pass a gun ban. So he's staging all of these murders, like the Fast and Furious thing down at the border in Aurora, Colorado, all the people that were killed there. And now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. God. I was talking to JD, our promoter here tonight. What a great guy. I was saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going the way it's going, because it looks like it's turning into Nazi America.
It does Clearly. Look like it's turning into Nazi America.
Clearly.
That's
There's
accurate.
No question about that. Look, the important background for that is the guy doesn't like President Obama, and that's fine. I get that. But you can't just make up facts. The president isn't trying to take anyone's guns away. There hasn't been a single piece of legislation that has been even discussed among President Obama and his staff.
With us.
With us. Oh, with us. Oh,
he's not letting us in.
You say it's all behind closed doors.
Right.
You're with Tommy Chong that once the president's reelected, that's when, boom, he starts sending federal agents door to door to take our guns away, right? So Dave Mustaine is convinced that that's what's going on. And I don't know where that's coming from, but a lot of people very deeply distrust the government and think the government are involved in a whole bunch of things. So we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Art, who was quick to be on the phone. He's on line two. Apparently he's got quite a bit on this topic for us. Art, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, hey, yeah, I produced a movie. It's called Operation Terror, and it shows how the government had planned and implemented the 9/11 attack.
This is big news. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, what we do is we actually have actors play out actual news footage of the 9/11 attacks. They use it word for word. They talk about there's no airplane in that field in Shanksville. The BBC, how they reported that Building 7 had collapsed while the building was still standing in the background.
Well, let me ask you a question,
collapse,
Art.
23 minutes later.
Yeah. Art, let me ask you a question. Uh-huh. Because everybody's heard this 9/11 BS from the very beginning, since 9/11. Our government is good enough to pull that off with no leaks. Really?
Oh, there's been a lot of leaks. They just don't put it on the media. I mean, there's been, I don't know, dozens and dozens of people that have come forward and talked about the
There's been dozens of citizens. Has there been anyone who's been a credible government employee, though, a high-ranking government employee who has been willing to speak on the record on this?
Well, I don't know how high-ranking you want to go, but Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, for example, he was part of an Army project that had uncovered the patsies of 9/11.
But that guy's a pedophile.
What's that?
I said that guy's a pedophile.
Anthony Schaefer?
Yeah, see, because you can just say what you want about anybody, right? You don't need facts; you can just make stuff up, right?
No. He has lots of facts. I mean, they testified in front of Congress. They had the.
How high up do you think it went? Do you think President Bush was involved in the planning on the Twin Tower attacks?
I think Dick Cheney was. I mean, that's from the testimony of Norm Mineta. He was there in the Emergency Operations Center in the White House when Dick Cheney had given the stand-down orders for the plane to fly over the Pentagon and the shoot-down orders for the flight over Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but he's a pedophile.
Well, I believe that one.
So Dick Cheney. Now, hold on a second. We can't get too deep into the woods here, but the orders that you talked about, those were in reaction to the attacks of the Twin Towers. Do you think he was involved in ordering the planes to fly into the buildings?
Yeah, I think definitely he was part of it. He had to know in order to give the stand down orders for the flight to fly over the Pennsylvania and the shoot down orders for the one in Pennsylvania.
There it is. That's all the proof I need, ladies and gentlemen. It has been determined. Dick Cheney is responsible. Thank you very much for the call. That's the kind of call we're looking for right now. And these are our people, Kevin, because you don't need any kind of actual facts, right?
Well, here's the
to
problem.
Form an opinion.
Here's the problem. On one hand, you have a mountain of evidence, and on the other hand, you have a couple of unanswered questions.
Right.
And unanswered questions people get very uncomfortable with. If there's not an answer, I'm uncomfortable. Then that means it must be all. But that's a giant leap to say that the government could pull that off.
This is just like the thinking behind UFOs, which is, I don't know what that is. I can't explain what it is. Therefore, it must be an alien spacecraft. You fill
in
the blanks. You fill in the blanks for things that you don't know. All right. Angel, you hang on. We absolutely will get to your call first when we come back. Caitlin, you hang on as well. We're looking for your calls. What's the government behind? What's the government doing to us? What are they involved in that we don't know about? And you can help spread the word this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next when we come back on K-Rock.
I just got a tweet from somebody that said, come on, guys, open your eyes.
Yeah, man.
And I thought,
you guys don't know, man.
And I thought, yeah. Right.
We are talking about government conspiracy theorists, talking to government conspiracy theorists, this all because of Dave Mustaine from Metallica and more recently Megadeth, who is convinced that the president is somehow behind these mass gun shootings, the one up in Wisconsin, the one in Colorado. He's doing this so that the public sympathy is, hey, let's take guns away, because that's his ultimate plan, is to take guns away from people, regardless of the fact that there hasn't been any movement on that issue at all since he's been in office. Now, we're talking to people about their theories. Unfortunately, we lost the caller who was calling to explain to us that the U.S. government planned the Pearl Harbor attacks.
Oh, didn't plan aloud, though. Aloud.
Okay, knew the Japanese were coming and let it happen. And I assume that's because they were looking for a way to get into World War II and didn't think they could sell it unless we got attacked, maybe. That's probably what they were going to say. Haven't seen much evidence to suggest they knew Pearl Harbor was coming. It seemed like pretty much a surprise attack by everything I've ever read about it. But, all right, let's move on and take some more calls. Let's try Oscar. He's on line 8 to get us going for this segment. Oscar, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the government up to that we don't know about?
What is up, my Kevin and Bean brothers? Seriously, I'm a long-time listener. I've called in many times, but this is one of the ones I just had to call in. I even pulled off the freeway to go to work early.
All right.
Thank
you.
Call in. One thing that the government is seriously behind, and it's actually the shadow government that pulls the strings of our government that's doing this, and that's FEMA camps that are literally nationwide.
FEMA concentration camps of Americans?
That is correct.
And you're talking about, I mean, FEMA, those are the people that come in to help in the case of a natural disaster, like the Hurricane Katrina people. You're talking about the camps where they were moved to after that natural disaster, is what you mean?
That was a very, very sugar-coated, tip of the iceberg version of what they actually have in store for many Americans. You could go anywhere online.
All those people were free to leave. I mean, the government was offering them food and shelter because they lost their homes, but they could have walked out at any time. It's not like they were being held against their will.
Well, that's why I said that was a very sugar-coated tip of the iceberg situation. If you actually go anywhere online and type in FEMA camps or American concentration camps, you'll see tons and tons of pictures made available through Google Earth.
Oscar, here's what I know. Here's what I know is that if it's online, it's true.
That is funny, but there is a lot of truth, because the best way to hide something is in plain sight.
Have you been to a FEMA camp?
Actually, I have driven one up, which is up north from Los Angeles, going towards Oxnard.
You've driven to one or by one?
And there were people trying to get out, and they wouldn't let them?
No, it was completely empty.
Oh,
which was strange.
Those are the worst kind of concentration camps.
I hate those concentration camps that are empty.
When I pulled over, I asked the cop, I'm like, what type of prison is that? And he goes, he gave me like every excuse in the book to avoid my question.
Yeah, but, he was hiding something.
No question he was hiding something.
But Oscar, listen. We agree with you that the government should be distrusted. I think we're both on board with that. But when you drive by and you see an empty jail, don't you think it's a bit of a leap of faith to go, that's a FEMA concentration camp? They're just getting it set up for us Americans. Isn't
that
bit of a leap of faith?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
I'm convinced. I'm
satisfied.
Oscar. I don't know what Kevin's got going on. I'm with Oscar. Thank you very much for the call, sir, and thank you for pulling over to talk to us. Let's go to Caitlin. We can dismiss this one on line one, I think, fairly quickly. Caitlin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on. What's the government up to?
Oh, Kevin and Bean, I love you guys.
Thank you.
So pleased to be here with you.
Thank you.
So first of all, I just want to say really quickly about the FEMA camps, because Oscar didn't touch on this. When you look up these FEMA camps, they're literally built to keep people inside. I think that's what he was trying to get at. It's not that he's driven by them, but they are designed to keep people in, which is a little sketchy, and I haven't seen the message just blast that out, but I just wanted to put that out there. But
okay.
What I want to talk about is fluoride in the water. And the thing is, you know, you guys say, oh, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Absolutely not. But people seem to have a mentality in our society of not questioning the government just because, and that's where I kind of have an issue. It's not that I think, oh, the government is completely insane, they're doing all this, but I think that there are issues that aren't being discussed.
Like what? What specifically?
Okay, so fluoride, first of all.
Fluoride
in water. You know, there's been a lot of back and forth. Oh, the scientists say this, they say that. But there's a part of our brain, so to speak, it's called the pineal gland. I don't know if you guys know about it.
Sure.
It's responsible for DMT, dreaming, all that kind of stuff.
I did my thesis on that.
Really? Wow. I got a whole big surge of respect for you there. And I had it before. But so basically fluoride, and I've personally, you know, done quote unquote my own research with this, with drinking water with fluoride and not. And I swear to you guys that when I do not drink fluoride, my headspace is, I wouldn't even say clearer. It's like, and I'm a very spiritual person, so that plays into it as well. But I think that people, you know, I see these little things online like, oh, make sure you get your fluoride. And it seems so scary to me because, especially lately, there's so much more about the fact that fluoride
right,
is really not.
Caitlin, let me jump in for 1 second here, because
okay,
there may be
sure.
People who don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh,
fluoride
absolutely.
Is something that the government admits to introducing into water systems. Anyone who's on a public water system gets fluoride in the water. Right, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Yes,
and the reason they do that is because dentists and other scientists said, hey, fluoride reduces cavities by like 80% or something like that. So America kind of got together. Maybe not everybody, but the people who run things got together and said, let's just put fluoride in the water. That way all of us will have better dental health. I don't think this is a secret. I don't think it's a surprise. But what it sounds like you're saying is that fluoride has other side effects that they're not
absolutely.
Sharing with us, right?
And absolutely. And on the dentist side, I mean, I think this is well known. It does, you know, it's supposed to prevent cavities. My dentist is always saying, I've never had a cavity in my life. Good for you. But too much exposure to it starts to create these spots in your teeth. And I have seen, and you know, you'll say, oh, it's just the internet. But in my opinion, you know, information is information. If I see evidence that fluoride has caused people's teeth to kind of, I wouldn't say rot, but it's done some kind of weird, nasty stuff as far as my research has shown. And I'm a very open person. I will look at either side, and I'm not.
But I mean,
you know,
unless...
I do know people who are super one-sided.
I'm
do not
convinced.
Trust the government. Crazy.
What are you doing about it? Are you only drinking like Sparklets water or something like that, or Crystal Springs?
Absolutely.
You don't drink tap water.
I do not. I drink Trader Joe's electrolyte enhanced water. Which
I'm convinced too then, Caitlin. Glad you called. Glad you exposed the danger that water is making to our citizens. We appreciate
that. Oh, gosh.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Won us over. What do you want?
I'm telling you,
we agree with you. I'm convinced. All right, Bobby, we're not going to have time to get in the JFK assassination, but clearly the government took out the president because duh. How about, let's go to Javier. Javier is on line three here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're running out of time, but seriously, we could do a whole George Norrie 5 hours just with callers from our listeners. I mean, these are our people, Kevin.
Love it. Javier?
Yes, it's Xavier.
Xavier,
okay.
Sorry.
I apologize. Sorry. What's going
okay.
on, dude?
I don't want to cause any panic, but the government is instructing NASA not to alert the people on the planet about a planet that has a wide orbit that in a few months will cross our orbit and destroy our whole weather system. And if
okay, so there's another planet that's going to come close enough to Earth that it will destroy our atmosphere?
That's right. And
okay.
It's a planet that has a wide orbit and comes across the path of the Earth every 3,600 years.
And when is this going to happen?
This will happen in approximately a few months.
So you're a Mayan believer, basically. You think they were onto something with the whole December 2012.
Besides the Mayan, there was also the Sumerians that had a calendar that coincided with the Mayans.
Will you do us a favor and call us back on January 1st?
Sure, I'll be happy if you're
okay.
around.
All right.
Hey, look, I don't know what Xavier's got going on, but I will tell you that if the government, any government, found out that the Earth was going to basically end, if we were going to, everything's going to be upheaval and there's going to be some sort of cosmic event with a collision or something like that, I'm not sure they would tell us.
Because what's the point?
There's stages that's going to happen. Also, they're going to all these people claiming about FEMA and there's something in our water. It's not going to, whatever they're going to plant, it's not going to be in the water. It's going to be in our money. So then everyone will be gone within, everyone can go within a couple of weeks so that they can go into their silos. And Obama visiting Colorado, you know, that's where one of the deepest safe havens they have,
right?
It's in Colorado.
It's all coming together.
Xavier, what are you going to do since you know this? What are you doing right now to prepare?
I'm not planning on living. My family and I were going to go to where the nearest impact point is going to be and just do away with it. You know,
I am afraid for your family.
Well, you know, be afraid because no one will survive this. Not even those people.
Just do us a favor and don't pull the ripcord before things happen.
No, we're all going to witness it.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I would. I'm with Kevin. You should wait and see how this one plays out before you do anything drastic, Xavier. Thank you so much for the call. We're out of time.
Orion Orbit.
Okay, all right. We'll Google that. Thank you, Xavier.
So we're all going to die. It's almost over. I hate to leave on the bummer note here.
Because we're all going to die.
I'm going to charge a lot on my credit cards today.